guys. Like Jacob said, my name is Neil Monroe. I had the opportunity last year to kind of put my foot in my mouth and make fun of myself at your expense, or at my expense for your enjoyment. So that's not a new thing for me. I actually want to start with a story so I can tell you guys who are wondering who this guy is in front of you a little bit about me, and then we'll be best friends, and it'll be great. So I remember when I was in high school, I had started playing football, and I was like, man, like now I just need a girlfriend, because that's naturally how the things go together. And there's this girl that I really liked named Michaela, and I was like, oh my gosh, she's the bee's knees. She's incredible, and like, I also at the same time was very, very dumb and didn't really know how to pick up signals. So Michaela had been giving me all these signals, and I'd be like, oh, okay. And like, she invited me to this bonfire at her house with a bunch of friends. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That she, like, there's a bonfire. I like those. And like, she was like, giving me all these signals. She's like, oh, there's a bonfire. We're going to play this game called Manhunt. It's like tag, but since we're not children, we're going to call it Manhunt, even though it is tag. And like, I was like, okay. And she's like, you can be on my team. I was like, okay, this sounds cool. And like, all this stuff's going on. And then here I find myself, the bonfire's happening. We made s'mores. She's like giggling. And I'm like, I think she likes s'mores. That's kind of cool. And like, all of this stuff's going on. And then all of a sudden we find ourselves in manhood and we're running around in the woods, which I don't know why our parents let us do this. And like, we're running and like, somebody's it. And all of a sudden, like, we're running and she like grabs my hand. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And like, we're running through the woods and she's holding hands with me and all this, and it's great. And all of a sudden we see the manhunt person, and I have this moment where I can step up and be the man that I was called to be. So what I did in that moment, of course, was let go of her hand and push her and run away. So that, cause I'm just like, I'm quicker than her. I just said, she comes to me later and she goes, Neil, what the heck was that? And in this moment, she's like, we were holding hands. What happened? And in this moment, I had the chance to say, you know what? I messed up. I mean, I really was enjoying holding your hand, and I just wish I wouldn't. But I couldn't tame my tongue in this moment. And I looked at her. I looked her right in the face, and I said, well, what am I, your boyfriend? So in my mind, that meant, yes, I want to be your boyfriend. In her mind, I don't really get to know what she was thinking, but she just looked at me and said mean things to me and left. And then she never came back. And then we didn't talk for the rest of high school. And that's the end of the story. So guys, why do I start there? So why do I start there? Guys, the thing I want you to know by the time we're done with this time today is that words matter. That I could have stepped up and been all that I felt I was called to be, but I couldn't tame my tongue. And do you guys know that feeling? Do you know that time in your life when things feel like they're going all the right ways and all of a sudden you just come up and you say something and you're like, oh, why did I say that? Why did I go there? Why did I feel like I had to brag about myself? Why did I feel like I had to say that joke to that person that tore them down that I thought was funny? I just wanted to like, people to like laugh. In reality, you want people to show you that they liked you and all of these things. And we know that our words matter if we're honest with ourselves. Like none of us would sit here and say like, oh yeah, like it doesn't matter if I'm like mean to people. Like we know that our words matter and yet we don't take them seriously. We can tear our friends down. The very people that we call our squad, that we call our like crew. I doubt you say any of those things, but like the people that you're closest to, we can tell them how much we love them. We can be like, oh, I have a snap streak with them. I've got the red heart. I think that's still how it works. And we've been going for 675 days and like all of this stuff. And yet we talk bad about them when they're not around. We make fun of them to their face to guard ours. And we just generally place our identity in what people think of us. So why do we do this? What I want you to know is that we need help to tame our tongue. And today we're going to keep charting our series, Charting Your Course, that we're going to be walking as we've based it in James 3, the last couple weeks. Guys, we're going to be taking a look at what God's word has to say about our words first, and then we're going to look at what God's word says about how we're going to use them. And before we get going, I'm going to pray one more time. God, thank you so much for today. God, I pray that you'd use me. God, I pray that my words would be helpful, that if there's anything that's not from you, that it would go in one ear and out the other and fall to the ground, and that my pride, that God, as I talk about how we use our words to promote ourselves, that God, I'm going to be prone to do that today. God, I acknowledge that. God, I don't want to be a man that is known for how funny he is or whatever else, how good I am at saying things, but God, I pray that we all would have the common prayer that we would be God's men and women, that we would desire to glorify you with everything we have in our whole life. God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. And I pray these things. Amen. So the first thing we're going to look at is, what does the Bible say about our words in general? And the first thing I want you to know is that our words represent Christ. Our words represent Christ. They represent who our master is. We see this in James 3, 7 through 12. It says this: for every kind of beast and bird, for every kind of beast and bird. A little quick thing, for, when you see that word, not F-O-U-R, but F-O-R in your Bible, at the beginning of the sentence, it's often saying that you're about to hear the why to a previously stated because statement. So it's like, for what? And just before this, James was telling us that our words matter, that they have weight. And he says this, he says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and our Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the very same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. What I need you to know, what James wants us to know, is that our words, unmonitored, can devour us. That if we don't check why we say what we say and what we say to who we say it to, that our words can come from behind. And it's not a thing that's like, I'm sure that like if I'm just like going through life and not thinking about it, that I'll say the right thing. No, your words will devour you. That our tongue is a tool that we actively get to choose how to use. We can one moment bless people. We can bless our God. We can sing praises to God. And another moment we're tearing people down. It doesn't make sense. It's confusing, James says. How is it that we one minute praise God for all that he is and who he is and what he's done and say, God, you're the author and perfecter of our faith. You've created everything. Your control and your creator of all. And yet the next moment, James says, that we curse and we tear down the very people that God created. And we act like we deserve more. Because our unmonitored words can devour us without warning. He goes on in verse 11 and 12. He says, Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. That you have a chance to choose how you will use your words. And our actions reveal our allegiance. What we say reveals who we serve. And guys, that can feel like it changes from day to day. You get to choose who you're going to serve every single day with your words. It's either God or you. A Christian who tears people down doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Guys, who is aware that the Cotton Bowl was last night? Anybody? Anybody watch that game? Okay, I get it. Texas people are normally loud, and I understand what happened. You guys are in mourning. That's okay. Okay, fine. Here. Any A&M fans in the... Whoops, amen. Any Baylor fans? Baylor? Tech? Kentucky Wildcat fans? Yeah, go Cats! Oh, and yeah, Cats. Cats. Will's here somewhere, I think. Story? Anybody? Guys... So imagine, here, come back with me. Imagine if somebody was like, oh yeah, let's go. Let's sick 'em, Bears. And like, somebody was cheering for Texas the whole game last night. And then they saw Oklahoma like start to pull forward and they were like, I'm going to go to my room and change my shirt and like come out. Yeah, Boomer, woo. Yeah. But yeah, well, actually some of you guys will probably do that tomorrow at school, but it's kind of like, that sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of the same thing as us like standing and singing, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. God, that is who you are. And then after this service, you'll say, hey, this is who this person is. They kind of stink. I don't like them. And we'll go from blessing. That's what James is saying, is that we, 1 minute, we can go so quickly from lifting up God and cheering on the home team to saying, actually, the home team, it's not really working out for me, so I'm going to go another way. And if we know Jesus, we are his representatives. That the Bible and his God's people are his way that he chose to share the gospel of Jesus to the world. And yet we don't act like that matters. We need to know that our words will be judged, that we will be judged by our words, the Bible tells us. That Matthew 12, 33 and 37, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the people that think that they have all of the good things and that they're good enough. And Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. People will give account for every careless word they speak. You, me, we will give an account for every, not just some, not just the good ones that we're hoping outweigh the bad, but every word you speak. And Jesus tells us that we have to continually evaluate ourselves. That our words carry weight and our words matter. That we will be evaluated with our words. That we will be evaluated for our words, every careless word that we speak. Even the things that you didn't intend to be mean. Even the things that you didn't intend to tear others down. Even the things that you thought, I was just joking, it's fine. You'll be evaluated for those words. And that's kind of scary if you don't know who your master is. So, how do we gain confidence in our words and use words that build instead of bite? Now that we know what the Bible says about our words, what do we do? The first thing I want you to do, if you're taking notes this morning, write this down. It is start with your heart. Start with your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what Jesus said. Like, that's what I need you to get, is that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What does that mean? The abundance, the overflow of what you are putting into your heart, what are you feeding your soul, that's what you're going to talk about. That's what you're going to talk about. Being evaluated can be scary. I know that. The way that we see the one that evaluates our words, though, God changes the why behind our words. It changes it. Why we do what we do changes what we do what we do. And who we do it for changes how we do it. Think of it this way. So imagine, gentlemen, you got a crush. This is your Michaela in your life. And you see her at school and you're like, man, dang, she cute. Dang. And you were like, okay, I got to tell her how I feel. I saw a movie. I saw Inside Out. And there's emotions going on here. I'm going to go to her. And you go to her and you're like at her locker. And she's at like your locker. And she's like, hey. And you're like, I got you flowers. And I watched Inside Out. And you like walk away. You're like, it's kind of lame. That's not going to work. But then imagine you've got your very own copy. You walk up to her, you get the flowers. You've got your very own copy of Romeo and Juliet. This is my copy from high school. It's really the real thing. And you walk up to her with her flowers, and you kind of got a little pep in your step. You're like, yo, what's up, Shayla? So I got you these flowers, and I was just doing some daily reading. It's a normal thing for me, and I just wanted to tell you that I was reading this poetry and I thought that this love that thou hast shown me doth add more grief to too much of mine own. That love is a smoke raised with the fume of sighs. That being purged of fire sparkling in lover's eyes. being vexed to see nourished with loving tears. What is it else? A man is most discreet, a choking gall and preserving sweet. That's from Romeo, Act 1, Scene 1. And honey, I got you these flowers and I'd like you to go to the dance with me. No. And then some. Thank you guys. I was in the, I tried out for the Christmas story in third grade. I didn't get it, but I tried out. And both of those actions, both of those actions were giving flowers. But one looked radically different than the other. Why? Because the heart is what matters. That what you believe, that why you do what you do changes how you do it. That we need to know that if we truly want to love God, we truly want to serve Him, we truly want to live the Christian life, that our words matter. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. When we're reminded of all that God has done for us, He says, I appeal to you by the mercy of God. What are the mercies of God? In chapter 1 through 11 of Romans, Paul tells us how we were lost, we were dead in our sin, we were broken, we were without hope. And then Christ came. And He justified us. That justified is a legal term that means that we were made, seen as forgiven, as holy, as righteous, as able to be in God's presence, not because of our own, but because of what Jesus has done. And because of that, we're not brought in as slaves that just work and hope that they're okay with the master, but we're adopted as sons, as daughters. Not just adopted to serve, but adopted into an inheritance, that because we have an inheritance, because we know God and we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it moves us to serve. And then after He's established that, hey, Paul takes 11 chapters of the book of Romans to tell us why or what we believe. And then he only takes 12 to 16 to tell us what to do. Because he says, if you don't understand the heart, you shouldn't even bother trying to serve. Is that when we are reminded of all that God has done for us, it changes the way we live and what we say and what we do. If we don't follow our heart, we inform our heart. We don't follow our heart, we inform our heart. And as we daily, here's some R's for you to kind of process, some R words. As we daily recognize the areas in our life that don't look like Jesus, our tearing down of others, our building of ourselves, our bragging, our mean jokes, our sarcasm. As we daily recognize those, we reject them in prayer and in confession to God's people. That's what our small groups are for. Small group is not for you to show up and be like, I love Jesus a lot and like I don't ever struggle. Like that's not what that's for. Small groups are a place for you to be real with each other. To say, man, I was tearing, like my best friend, like I was tearing him down and I need to reconcile. We reject them. We replace them with a better thing based on scripture that points us to what? Not showing God that we're good enough, but so that we can have a relationship with God. And day by day, little by little, as we get to know God, we change. Why? Because the gospel is not about behavior modification. It's not about changing what you do. The gospel is about heart transformation. You don't need to become a little better. You need to be made into a new thing. As we hold the truth of Psalm 129 close to our hearts, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do we genuinely change? We know, we memorize, we store up God's word in our hearts. And we honor him, we give him all of us and say, God, you have the places that people see, you have the things that people don't see. And as I do things that don't honor you, I don't just say, I hope I don't do that again, but I actively seek in God's word how to change that. And if we really believe that there's a God, come back with me, guys. If we really believe that there's a God that loves us and died for us and lived a life that we couldn't live and died a death that we deserved on a cross that was made for you and for me, if we really believe that he rose from the dead and he left our sin there, it changes the way that we do things. And we realize that God doesn't care as much about what you do for him that he does that you know him. Start with your heart. And then once you do that, practice the positive. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." Corrupt, this word, let no corrupting talk, can also be translated rotten, bad, filthy, trash, horrible. What he's saying here is that anything that you say that will lead other people to sin, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't say it. You're talking about yourself. You're bragging. Oh, you see that game I had? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Billy over here? Yeah, he stunk. He wasn't good. Oh, yeah, I don't like that guy. I just need that people to laugh at me. I just need people to honor me. Like, I need to be the best athlete. I need the best dancer. I need to be the best singer. I need to be all of these things. And what you promote is what you practice. If all you ever talk about yourself, you have to question who's the master of your life. Is it you or is it God? Because it may be you. And over the next week, I want you to take note in your conversations. Here's some homework. Ready? Take note in your conversations. Who is the focus of the conversation? Is it you or is it the other person? I'm not saying to never say anything that relates to you. But being a follower of Jesus is not, at the same time, trying to fix everyone while ignoring your problems and trying to dial in on how wrong they are and ignoring how broken you are, or even going to God and saying, "What, God, what can you do for me today? Because if I read my Bible, blessings. Come on, God." That's not what being a Christian is. It's not about you. Even this last week, I, with my roommate, had said, like, we were sitting there in a group of friends, and I said a joke at his expense that I thought would be funny just because I wanted to laugh. He came to me, and he was heartbroken the next morning. And he was like, "Neil, why did you say this?" And I couldn't give him an answer. I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Did you see this in me?" "No." "Did you think this about me?" "No." "Why did you say it?" "Because it hurt." And I couldn't give an answer. And as I thought about it, it was just because I wanted to laugh, because I wanted people to think that I was funny, because I wanted people to tell me that they loved me. I was late for the men's Bible study on Thursday morning because of this admonishment. I had to circle back with him after I, you know what I did directly after I went to men's Bible study? I ran through this talk about using words that build instead of bite, and I wasn't doing it myself. That even that I am capable of not honoring God, I know, surprise. And like, I needed to circle back. And you know what I did? I went to him later. I didn't leave it at he was a hurt, but after I processed why I did that, I went to him for like an hour and a half. I practiced, "Will you forgive me for saying this?" Guys, don't just look at people and go, "I'm sorry," but say, "Will you forgive me for this?" And then let them respond. Because you're not owed anything. But so far as it depends on you, the Bible says you're to live peaceably with all. And once you understand that there's a God that didn't ask you to work to him, but risk everything to run to you in the form of Jesus, it moves you to pursue others. Because love received becomes love extended. Love received becomes love extended. The overflow of love poured out on us through Jesus is what overflows onto others. That if you try to pull all of good things from your heart, you're gonna run out. But if it's an overflow of a God that loves you so much that he would die for you, it's all by his grace. And it's love received becomes love extended. Do you encourage or sarcastically tear down? Proverbs 26:18-19 says, "Like a madman who throws firebrands and arrows and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" Sound familiar? But here's the thing I need you to know, is that sarcasm is only a mask to say what you're too scared to say but want to say. If you think, "I'm just a sarcastic person, it's the way that I am." Guys, I do this too. We mask our insecurities in sarcasm when we try to place the blame on the other person. We say, "Oh, well, you just can't take a joke." No, you just didn't honor God, is what it really was. The sarcasm is just a mask. That we need to speak the truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. But here's the thing, if you don't have anything nice to say, last point, say less. That's it, say less. And I'm going to show you what it looks like to say less. Here's what God's word says, not what I say. Listen, guys, really, really listen to this. Proverbs 10:19, "When words are many, transgression," wrong, "sin is lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent," is wise. "Whoever restrains his words," Proverbs 17:27, "has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." Proverbs 17:28, "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." James 1:19, Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is not saying that you should never speak. There's a time to speak, but there is wisdom in sitting back and listening. It's better that somebody thinks that you're dumb than you opening your mouth and proving them right. And as you listen, I need you to ask yourself, do this in your conversations this week. Ask yourselves, are you listening to understand or are you listening to respond? There's a difference. Are you others focused or are you self focused? Because listening to understand that practicing the positive and saying less, that's what Brant Jean did. I don't know if you guys have heard about this case that recently has been wrapping up here in Dallas, that Botham Jean was an innocent man that was sitting on his couch in his apartment, eating ice cream and watching TV. And all of a sudden, a police officer got off her shift late at night, thought she came into her apartment, saw that it was this man that she thought was his apartment, but it was his. And she shot him and he passed away. And the trial recently came to a head where they had his brother, Brant, on the stand. And you guys probably heard of this, and you may have seen this video, but watch what happened when Brant had a chance to tear her down with his words. And right after that, he said, "Can I give her a hug?" And he stood up, he embraced the very woman that killed his brother. Who does that? He had all the right in the world to say, "Do you know that I'll never even get to see both of his kids? He won't get to see his kids grow up. That he won't get to walk his daughters down the aisle. That he won't get to be there at Christmas every year. That we won't get to celebrate anymore. Do you know what you've done to me?" But no. He started with his heart. I'm sure he had all sorts of things circling in his mind that he wanted to say to her that day. But he started with his heart. He remembered who is in control. That there's a God that loves her, that loves him, that loves his brother who is now with that God. And he practiced the positive and say, "Hey, this is not fun, but we have a chance for somebody to be forgiven." And when he didn't say a lot. But he said what mattered. He made it count. He pointed her to Jesus. So what about you? Instead of looking at those who hurt you and letting them have it and telling them how much they've hurt you, why don't you tell them about how much God loves them? Instead of investing in your image, will you humble yourself and admit that you're wrong? And instead of providing empty excuses, will you encourage those you encounter? Are you willing to self-sacrifice for the redemptive good of another? If Brant Jean can do that, it makes this kind of, I'd be ashamed to say what I tried to excuse. We're called to love others as Christ has loved us, and we can do this with our words. Words matter. So how are you going to use your words this week? I'm going to pray for you as you go. God, thank you so much that we have the opportunity to open your word and to look at what you have to say to us. And God, I pray that as we go, that we would proclaim that you are good and that we would say, even when it feels like we fear of death itself, that we know that you are good and you love us and you care for us. And God, that I pray that we would see an opportunity and we would look for every opportunity we do this week to start with our heart, to practice the positive, and to not say more, but to say less and to say what matters. God, I pray that we'd build others up and point them to Jesus this week. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for Jesus. Guys, baptism right after this. Have a great week.